Well, we were just talking about what people respond to, and I was giving the example of the Little Heart Hero book, and when it gets to the page where the Little Heart Hero is depicted as being kind of traumatized and afraid.
It's
very kinetic, and there's like zigzaggy lines to create the heart and the arms and the legs, and the eyes are wide, and the mouth is sort of like a pumpkin mouth, and a Halloween pumpkin mouth, and the caption underneath says, "That's scary." And for, you know, 20 years now, I have watched people read through this little book, and 99% of the people, especially children, when they get to that page, they all laugh with delight. They absolutely love the scary drawing. Everything else is sort of lovey. Oh, we all want to be happy. Oh, the heart heroes love and be loved. But when it comes to the part where it says nobody likes to get hurt, nobody likes pain, and it shows the heart hero with tears and maybe angry, but then the next one it says that's scary, and then there's like this this vibrational, you know, trauma happening, and for some reason everybody laughs when they get to that. And you just asked me why is that, and I said I don't know. I really don't know, but you know, it's something that I've been observing. For instance, we do seem to have a universal attraction to, you know, people being traumatized, or you know, people love to be scared. Kids love to go on rides where they get scared, roller coasters, etc. What do you think is the number one best-selling album in the world to date? What do you think it is? Does anything come to mind?
Thriller.
Yes. And when you look at the video, it's basically about zombies.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
It's scary. It's very scary. And to this day, amongst all the extraordinary talent in the world, Michael Jackson's Thriller, which is sort of like Frankenstein, zombie, mummy,
werewolf,
you know, kind of genre, is still a favorite.
And it's truly amazing.
It is amazing. And I say, well, why? Why is that? There's something that tickles our funny bone, that tickles our fascination bone, or whatever it is. And that's just the way it is.
We won't belabor this, but do you think that it could be possibly that a human being, their mind is such that all information that they encounter, they have to put into a narrative? That's just the way that the brain operates. Everything has to be in a story. It has to make sense in some kind of narrative. And when something is really scary, then it kind of does something to that narrative with a lot of feeling that is not usual for us. And because it's not usual, it's novel. And because it's novel, it's attractive.
Well, that might be part of it, but another part of it might be that it makes us alert. So, you know, when we become alert, but then our discrimination, our awareness realizes we're not really in danger.
Right.
So the flee or fight response is stimulated, but we know there's no danger.
Right.
So instead of fear, we laugh.
Well, that is really...
So the endorphins.
I love that. It's like, now you're going to, okay, we evolved to respond to alerts. So this story is now all of a sudden sending out alert messages, but our cerebral cortex is saying, yeah, but it's just a story, folks. And so we get to enjoy the almost...
giddiness.
Yeah, what's that word we like to use? Psychological dissonance of having fear and yet knowing that it's not real. And there's something about that dissonance that people love, which is creates, you know, fun rides, scary fun rides, and well, most movies are kind of premised on that, unless they're comedies.
Right. So, you know, what makes a good story? Well, we have a protagonist that we can identify with in some way that has a problem, and then we get to see our hero or heroine overcome that problem.
Right.
But it's the dynamic that captures our attention, that somehow gives us pleasure.
Yes.
To watch, like, oh, you know, what's going to happen? Or, you know, we cheer for one team and not another.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that drives us to an experience of pleasure by having the bad guy or the threat
eliminated.
By
the good guy.
No, that's just there. That if it was always good, there's no dynamic, really.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So I'm talking pre-winning or losing. I'm talking about just having a character that we want to root for, and then an energy that is threatening in some way. And somehow we love that.
Yeah.
As story beings. As there's just something about us with our imagination, with our intelligence, with our emotional body, with all of that, those realms of consciousness, we have to be story creatures.
Right.
Because what do you do with all that energy?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do with that? You have to create stories.
Yeah. What you were saying earlier about the most primitive way of looking at it, what I started to see when I was listening to you is that instead of just living in a world of gray, which is, you know, let's face it, life is gray. It's not black and white. It's many shades of gray. But just living in a cloud of gray is pretty boring. It's pretty nice when all of a sudden there's a yin, a clear yin and a clear yang, a clear black and white starting to duke it out and creating new forms. There's something about that that attracts the human consciousness.
Yeah, and they've actually done at least one study that I know of. And I'm sorry, I don't remember who did the study, but they showed people, just one-on-one, they showed people images that were color images and then images that were black and white to find out which images that they responded to the most. Most of the people that they had in the study dramatically, apparently, responded more to the black and white than the color.
Wow.
And I've found that out when I was in university in art school.
So it's an older study.
It's an older study, and I found myself loving black and white, and I did a lot of black and white stuff. And then when I found out about that study, it kind of confirmed my appreciation for it.
Sure.
Even when I was criticized, or some people were very suspicious about my moral values because I liked black and white. Oh no, it's true. It's
what?
True. Yeah, I had made a series of large drawings in black and white, and I was living at the time in a very large trailer with a number of monks, actually. And
Christian monks?
No.
I see.
And And then finally one of them approached me and said, you know, we're kind of uncomfortable with something. And she revealed to me that they had talked about the drawings that I had, because I was there and I was just finishing my degree at University of Virginia. So I had two large drawings that I had done in black and white that were head framed that had been in a show of mine that I had in my room. And, you know, of course you get to know people that you're living with, and they, you know, I showed it to them. They were wondering what I was doing. And they said, you know, we're kind of concerned. And I said, well, what do you mean? And they said, well, you know, just these drawings. And she went to them. We're just wondering how a person like you could do art like this. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, they're kind of scary. They're kind of dark. And I looked at them, and all they were landscapes.
But they were black and white.
They were black and white.
Oh my God.
They were just landscapes.
But there were no
others. There were no people. There was nothing ominous. There was nothing threatening. They were just
landscapes. There wasn't a single one that you might say, oh, maybe that's why.
The only thing I could figure out was that it was black and white. Wow. So that was interesting, because if the study, I would be curious if that study was redone, and then they had, you know, religious nuns and monks and swamis and whatnot, you know, people who were of a religious ilk, if you will, if they would have had the same response. I bet you they would have had the same response.
Yeah.
But their minds were telling them, you should not like that because it had black in it.
But I wonder, like, were they thinking, well, this is so bleak, only a deeply depressed person could do this. And here's a person who is, you know, meditating on the great joy of, you know, the great spiritual joy.
Right, they couldn't make the connection because they respected my spirituality, if you will, but they couldn't reconcile it, that the way they perceived me as a person, with the art that I had created.
Yes. Had they seen your piece with the globe?
No, I hadn't done it yet.
Ah, okay.
I hadn't done that yet.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
But anyway, so getting back to here, so that's why I thought with this this website that we're working on, that at least we would have, even though it's about the best about being human,
mm-hmm.
And it's called wisdompie.love, that we could have one category called pie in the face.
Right.
And have fun with, you know, maybe a thumbs down on something somebody's doing in the world.
Sure.
Or making fun of ourselves.
Sure, yeah. Anything,
or a challenge that we've had that we overcame, or
perhaps anything in the category of diffusing the ego.
Right. Humbling. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Something
that's
been humbling.
Yeah,
yeah.
Humbling,
it's humbling.
Right?
Yeah. 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 Right on. Right on. Yeah. So,
you know, and there's nothing great about being humble, but there's something great about having your ego taken down a notch, because we get closer to the truth as the ego diminishes in prominence.
Well, then there is something great about being humble.
Exactly.
No, humility is
yeah.
important. It
yeah.
is. It absolutely is. In my world. So, okay. I think we've explored
okay.
that.
Well, thank you very much
for
speaking to us. You are currently in the process of creating this blog. It's your first one. You've done a lot of research and talked to a lot of people. And every day you're, you know, fiddling around and working with creative ideas. And I just love that you're doing that, and I can't wait to see the final result.
Well, thanks, Fox. I just really appreciate it. You're a wonderful interviewer, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to our listeners.